Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome into the show. We're back with our regular crew. By crew, it's a crew of two. Sean is back. It'll be me and Sean till noon, then Paul Gallant, and then the Killer Bees. So, we've got NBA basketball to discuss. The games last night were compelling for different reasons. We've got Fromber dealing last night. The Astros win a game 2-1 over the Royals. They even that series. Two solo home runs are the difference. Isak Paredes taking advantage of the Crawford boxes. I don't know if StatCast has was, is that a home run in only Daikin Park? I don't know. I haven't seen that. But he was brought in to do things like that, take advantage of that short porch, and he took advantage of it for a win. The Astros get the win. Fromber's great. That's good news because we talked about it. Or at least Joe and I talked about it. The Astros probably at this point have 2.5 starters because Ronel Blanco we're not sure about, even though he's kind of gotten better over his last couple starts and with the injuries and last colors. We just don't know. But one of the guys you feel secure about locked it down last night, and they needed him. They needed that performance because the bats were silent once again. But we'll get to that in a little bit. But let's talk about how the Rockets are killing our content vibes. Another story comes out where the Rockets are once again not interested in a son. This time it's Kevin Durant. There's supposed to be mutual interest. Kevin Durant, according to multiple sources, multiple stories, is interested in possibly becoming a Rocket, but The Athletic, Sam Amico and Kelly Eco, are saying the Rockets are lukewarm on it because of his age. And you think about that, and it makes some sense. If you get beyond what you need to do to make the contracts work for the trade where Kevin Durant is owed $55+ million, right around $55 million this upcoming year, you're not trading for Kevin Durant without an extension. So are you willing to extend Kevin Durant at $50 million per the next couple of years to take him into his like 38, 39 year? Now he has a game that ages gracefully. It's just, he's an older player who misses time because he's older and he gets hurt. We're watching that happen in a different form with the Warriors. They forced themselves, because of the window that Steph provides, to go trade for an older player, and that older player let it be known that he wasn't going to agree unless you gave him an extension. He was not going to be a rental or even exercise his player option for the next year. Jimmy Butler, hey, you want me, you're going to have to pay me, so I asked some security. And it looked great for the regular season, and of course, they were able to scrap through against the Rockets, but now with Steph hurt, once again, another older player dealing with an injury, it's on Jimmy Butler's shoulders to carry this Warriors team. And we've now come to a thing where, just get us one, Jimmy. Just get us one, for because of the thought of Steph Curry coming back is enough to make us believe we can win a game 6 and 7, and that would mean beating the Wolves 3 games in a row. And they need to go to Minnesota, and Jimmy has to put on a performance because there's not enough juice with the Warriors to do that. So while the Rockets have more talent than the Warriors, this is a concern when you talk about adding an older player. So right now, according to people who should know, they're not in on Kevin Durant. We heard that they're not in on Devin Booker right now either. So whatever happened in Phoenix this year has turned the Rockets off. It's not like they didn't know Kevin Durant was going to be this age when all the rumors started early in the year. But if we are to believe the reports, and if the Rockets, if they're giving information to certain reporters, they're telling the truth, then you knock the two Suns off, although Devin Booker was really never on the table, at least according to Matt Ishbia, but Kevin Durant was, and now he's not, at least if the Rockets are being truthful. Maybe it's just a negotiation ploy. They're trying to bring the price down, but I would say this. It's going to be difficult to do that unless Kevin Durant says only Houston, because other teams are interested in Kevin Durant. So gauging the market, if you say, nah, we're not really that all in on it, we don't want to give up too much for him, there are other teams who may be willing to give up more. So that's the battle at play there, if you believe it's just a negotiation ploy. Maybe they just say, hey, you know what? We're not into older players. It doesn't fit our timeline.
Yeah, yeah. They see what's going on with UNC and Bill Belichick and his girlfriend. They're like, you know what? Age gaps? nothing good. Nothing good with an age gap.
When they ask Kevin Durant how he decided on joining the Rockets, is Jalen Green going to pop in and go, that's the question?
Well,
we're not going to.
Jalen Green will be popping in from Phoenix. But
I still have to figure out how Phoenix is going to take in Jalen Green when they have Devin Booker and Bradley Beal. So I understand.
Don't have Bradley Beal. Just act like they don't.
No, but they have him. And nobody wants him. And Bradley Beal has the ability to tell the Suns, you can't trade me. So while Jalen Green feels like the obvious move out, because everyone, at least in some, not everyone, some people don't want him around because of his most recent performances, where's he going to go? Why would Phoenix take on a high-volume shooting guard when they already have a couple and one they can't get rid of?
I mean, why would they have taken on Bradley Beal?
Because they deluded themselves into thinking a big three of Beal, Durant, and Booker was enough. Maybe they've learned the lesson and they don't want to bring on another one?
Yeah, Matt Ishbia, famous lesson learner.
Well, I appreciate your skepticism. Do you think they want to pay the combo of Bradley Beal and Jalen Green $80-something million a year next year?
Not.
Yeah, probably.
Although
not.
They would be getting off, like, what, $15 million from Durant
But it's still, you're pretty much paying three shooting guards about $130 million. Feels like a bad way to spend your money for a bad basketball team. But it is Matt Ishbia, as you pointed out.
I'm not giving him the benefit of the, like,
it's fine.
Here's a logical plan.
I respect it.
They trade away a 2030 first round pick this year to get nobody, really.
Yeah, we were.
That's what they did.
Sean and I, because it was during the freeze, so Sean and I were in a hotel room during the national title game watching it, and when that news broke, we just assumed they were putting the pieces together because they're going to be able to deal Bradley Beal someplace because they're going to attach picks and get themselves Jimmy Butler, because that was the rumored choice they wanted. It turned out, no.
I think we both literally were like, you just don't make this trade unless you, like, have the other trade.
Yes, and it turns out they did not have the other trade.
Nope, they just did that. So
they split up what should have been a valuable pick into three less valuable picks, and we thought it was just simply, hey, we'll attach a pick here. That'll make it easier to move Beal. No, didn't happen, and now they're stuck with Beal, and they made the news that they want to trade Durant public, so they have to get rid of him, and they feel like a team without a direction. But don't worry, the Rockets won't be bailing them out. They won't be taking on Kevin Durant if they have their way. I don't know how I feel about the two stories that have come out where the Rockets don't want either. As I said, the Booker thing was pie in the sky until Booker asked out. The Durant thing felt like the easiest way to give your team a real shot of becoming a contender without giving up too much.
Yeah, it felt like the discount option to get to fill the box of this team needs a go-to guy.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is Durant felt like the best go-to guy that you could get at a bargain, where, you know, a Giannis trade or to a lesser extent a Booker trade would take a lot of stuff, where it feels like Durant's like, wouldn't take you know, you're not giving up. You're probably not giving up Amin Thompson for Durant. You're probably not giving up Alperen Şengün for Durant. If they don't want Jalen Green, then it's like, all right, we're really in the no one who started or is projected to be a starter next year zone with the Durant trade. And that is obviously something that would be appealing when, again, the options are like, give me all your stuff for Durant.
So
the other thing I'm thinking about is Kevin Durant seems like the type that even if it's simply a negotiation ploy to lower the price, if he heard or believed the Rockets weren't that interested, he'd be like, all right, cool. I'm not that interested in you. I'll just go someplace else. He feels like the type, oh, is that how you feel?
Yeah.
I'm good. I'll pick another place.
Oh, man. And then he's going to score like 37 against the Rockets in,
November. I know he's the easy money sniper, but the petty money sniper is another thing I'd call him to. Yeah. There's a pettiness to him, which I would be fearful of if the Rockets are actually interested. Yeah. Just hey.
Dallas Maverick, Kevin Durant.
Yeah. That guy would torch and make the Rockets miserable. Even if they won the game, he would just go for 40 and be unstoppable.
It
wouldn't be fun playing. But here we are. The latest news Rockets-wise is beyond not getting into the top four, not getting Cooper Flagg, they're not interested in what appears to be a couple Suns who could have helped, and the one in particular who is on the market. So we'll see. I guess the goal is Giannis or bust. I was thinking about this. I brought it up yesterday with Joe. With the 10th pick and the fact that it isn't as valuable as they had hoped, is there a move to be made for a veteran like when the Rockets traded for Rudy Gay traded the Rudy Gay pick for Shane Battier all those years ago? Who could they grab that they wouldn't mind doling out the number 10 pick and some salary to improve their team? So while we are so insistent on focusing on the bigger trades, if the Rockets are to be taken at their word, maybe it'll be a smaller trade with their treasure trove of picks, particularly this current one, that they use to make an adjustment as opposed to this giant change in how their roster is constructed.
Yeah, I mean, and the easier line to connect is look at what's going on in Boston. And
would you like yourself a Derek White?
Drew Holiday, perhaps?
Because he's got 3 years left. Maybe they don't want to get that old, although Derek White's not that young. But Derek White would seem like a good fit anywhere.
Yeah.
So that was the name that popped in. And if you don't know what we're talking about, the Celtics were rumored to have to cut salary because they're going to get too expensive. They have a new ownership group that people believe isn't willing to spend into the second apron for this particular team.
And now Jason Tatum.
With Jason Tatum, the official word is he didn't just tear his Achilles. He's already had repair surgery because according to, I guess, doctors and what the research the Celtics did, if you do it quickly, it helps the results. So he had his Achilles surgery. We found out the official tear happened, and then if not in the same tweet, then minutes after we found out he had the surgery to repair it. So
the Celtics did it all in one tweet.
Yeah. Okay. There it is. Yeah. So we know the Celtics are kind of off the board for a real contender run next year. And if they are already wanting to cut salary, there might be, maybe we won't call it a fire sale, but some guys available maybe at a cheaper price than you might have thought. Maybe it only takes a first round pick to pry Derek White out of there because of what the Celtics have coming for them. So, as I said earlier this week, I think it'll be a big time offseason for moves. It just won't be free agency. I think that's dead and gone. Guys are willing to sign deals and then ask out. So I think it'll be like that. I think we'll see a lot of trades.
Pouring out for free agency.
Yeah, free agency. Sorry, Nets. I know you were planning on signing Julius Randle. I'm not sure who they thought would be
Julius
in 2025. Randle
making himself some money at this.
Yeah, we talked about it. Julius Randle's a guy who's going to probably opt out if this run continues with his $30 million player option. But the problem for him particularly is there are not that many teams who got that type of cash to spend. Yeah. The Nets are one of them. So if he wants to go back to New York and play, I'm sure do the Nets want to give Julius Randle $45 million for 4 years over the course, at least 45 times four. I'm not sure they would want to do that. But Julius Randle, maybe he makes himself a guy that the Timberwolves can't do without. So he opts out, and they still pay him a boatload of money to stay. And this all stems from the fact that they wanted to get rid of Cat because of how the constraints were going to affect how they spent money. Now Julius Randle's like, oh, you think $30 million is enough? How about $45 million? How about that?
And, I mean, we're not quite to collision course yet, but we're pretty close to a Knicks T-Wolves finals.
We got some scenarios.
It's not insane.
We got some scenarios percolating right now.
Yeah.
We're very close to one of the more underrated rivalries in the NBA. Pacers-Knicks goes back into the 90s, of course, with Reggie Miller. They've had their battle since then as well. And now the Wolves are one game away from eliminating Warriors and maybe facing OKC after their big-time fourth quarter. So we'll get into what actually happened on the court when we come back. We'll do our playoff scapegoat rankings. While these series aren't over, at least all of them, there are some people who are taking some blame. And we will talk about what happened with the Cavs and the Pacers as the Pacers eliminate the Cavs. But because we are this show, we will probably more focus on the report Jared Greenberg had for one Cav and what it might mean for him in the group chat going forward. So we'll get to that. If you want to get in on the show, you can. 713-780-3776. We'll have some sound from Will Anderson. He was on NFL Network, and he has a goal for himself. You know, they asked him a lot of things, and he certainly mentioned Texans culture, and Aaron Wilson had some sound from him saying he wants to be a Texan for life, all the things you want to hear from one of your stars. But he has a personal goal for himself we will hear from as well. And then next Texan we might hear from. Brian Cushing was on a podcast, and it was all the things you might expect Brian Cushing with a mic in front of his face to say. So we can get into that, too. We're just getting started here on the show. Me and Sean, till noon, we'll be back.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
The number one seed in the East is out. The Pacers go into Cleveland, take game five. Coming back after Cleveland expended a lot of energy to take a double-digit lead, the Pacers fight back, and then the Pacers took like a 12-point lead, and then you had the ebbs and flow of that fourth quarter, and eventually it winds up with Halliburton and the Pacers beating the Cavs in five. OKC avoids needing to go to Denver to keep their season alive. They beat the Nuggets in a game where the Nuggets, I felt like, were in control for the most part. Even when they were down, it felt like they were playing at their pace. OKC could never really put a big run together with all the energy in the building to run away. Hell, the Nuggets had a 12-point lead at one point, and then OKC put a run on them to get back in it. And it came down to OKC knocking down threes. Lou Dort made one. Jalen Williams made one. And then Shea made one when they had Jokic in the drop. Shea hadn't shot the ball well from three, but you're down three, you're in the drop, you're letting what will be the MVP if I go by all the pundits and when they reveal their votes. I think Shea's going to win that award. He just steps into an open three, casually does it. That was really the difference. And then the Thunder up 3-2. The young team has found a way to win a couple close games late. We'll see if they can close out the Nuggets in Denver, which will be pretty fun to watch. But back to the Pacers and Cavs. So a lot of questions about the Cavs. You get the four all-stars. Injuries really hamper them throughout. People love their bench, love their role players, and yet not enough. So Donovan Mitchell will be asked questions. He gave it what he had. He obviously banged up, missed three big free throws late, did come back down the next possession, knocked down a three to make it a one-possession ball game, but those three free throws are probably going to haunt him. One guy who didn't make anything was one Max Strus. He was one of their big offseason additions a couple years ago. He was supposed to be a guy who brought toughness and shooting, and he did all that. Certainly the Cavs have been a good team since he's been in that rotation. But we got a story from Jared Greenberg of TNT about something Max Strus did. And then I'll give you Max Strus's stats from the game, and it'll explain why I said earlier Max Strus is dead in the group chat going forward. Here's the story about what Max Strus tried to do to motivate the team in a text.
A group text message was sent out to every single Cavalier player from Max Strus. Strus said simply, "If you don't believe, then don't show up for work." Strus said this morning that he doesn't think this group.
So we got a couple of things to discuss here, Sean. First, let's get to Max Strus's stat line. 26 minutes, and you go, that's kind of low for a starter. Why would Max Strus only play 26 minutes?
Foul trouble.
He did commit four fouls in 26 minutes, which is a lot, by the way.
Okay.
But no.
Oh.
No, he could have played the rest more minutes in the game. But 26 minutes compared to the 38 for Mitchell. Garland, who was limping around. Hell, Mitchell had to go to the back for a little bit. Garland played 33. Jared Allen played 30. Evan Mobley played 37. So the stars, their starters were getting minutes. Why Max Strus only played 26 minutes? Could it perhaps be the 0 for 9 from the floor, the 0 for 6 from 3, and the goose egg in the score column? Now, Max Strus did rebound the basketball. He had a couple assists. Actually had one of the better plus minuses at minus 3 for the starters. Evan Mobley minus 14. But no points after that text. It's a tough look for Max Strus. And we have to think about this. Did Max Strus reveal to Jared Greenberg that he sent that text? Because how does Greenberg know about it? Because if Max Strus was the guy who told Jared Greenberg and then had that conversation about why he did it and whatever, Max Strus is dead. And no one's going to ever listen to Max Strus with the text again, in, at least in that group chat. And the question is it a group chat or did he send it to, individually to multiple players? Because what are we doing?
I think he had group chat.
The Cavs group chat? That.
Yeah.
You didn't think he copy and pasted it and sent it to multiple players?
No, I think it's more offensive if you send it to, like, each one specifically. If, like, Evan Mobley, oh, text from Max. What's going on? If I don't show up, what?
If you don't believe, don't even show up.
Yeah. What are you talking about? And that times 13, do you text, you know, Ty Jerome that?
Well,
do you text?
Kenny Atkinson didn't believe in Ty Jerome. Yeah. He didn't get off the bench until they were desperate late in the third into the fourth quarter.
Which one's their Porter Jr.? I think it's Craig Porter Jr. is the Cavs Porter.
Yes,
there's a lot of Porter Juniors.
Yes, Craig Porter Jr.
Yeah.
He didn't get the play, so.
But did he get a text from Max Strus saying, if you don't believe, don't show up?
Did Javonte Green get one? Sam Merrill didn't show up because he was injured / illness, so he couldn't play. He was
illness, doesn't believe.
Doesn't believe. So Max Strus.
DMP, doesn't believe.
So how many shots did Max Strus have to miss before he started to regret the group chat text because, oh, man, maybe I don't believe. How many do you think when he got to 0 for 4? Because Max Strus is a Deion Waiters type where the next shot's always going to go in, no matter if I'm 0 for 9 or 0 for 10, the next shot's going to go in. He's that type of guy?
Yeah, I was thinking 0 for 5.
You think when
six.
He got to 0 for 5,
yeah.
Oh, man, that text I sent. That's the question I would ask. Hey, Max, when you were 0 for 7, did you start thinking about the text you sent and the conversation you had with Jared Greenberg that you made public? Did you think about that when you're telling your teammates who had to carry you in that game, don't show up if you don't believe?
By the way, he 100% is the one who shared it.
Yeah, would Donovan Mitchell go, hey, guess what Max told me? Do you think he ran to Jared Greenberg?
Especially because, and this is why, like, I'm giving the Cavs a little bit of a break just because, and this is works against Max Strus, of how injured they all are.
Uh-huh.
Where I think that especially guys that are all like beat up, most of these are Garland and Mobley both missed games this series. Mitchell left a game early. Like these guys are. Looking at their, if I don't believe, dude, I have to wear a specific type of shoe
to even get out there
to play.
I can't
so
even
it
come
doesn't
to
hurt my toe.
I can't even come to a normal stop on the court. I have to like run out things even when the play is over to avoid having an abrupt stop. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
if you
Mitchell's
believe.
Like limping around, like he can't even dunk anymore. And it's just like what?
I think that is the most insulting thing. We are out here. Giving up our bodies, and you're going to send us a text about if you don't believe, don't even show up.
Yeah, it'd be one thing for someone on the Rockets to have done that when they were down 3-1, because it's like okay, they actually can win this. There's no way. Like, do you think who's the Max Strus of the Boston Celtics?
Luke Cornett. Oh no, it's Sam Hauser, but he was hurt.
Yeah, Porzingis. If Porzingis is texting the group chat, hey, if you don't believe, don't show up. Also, best wishes, Jason. Speedy recovery.
Yeah. Does he exclude Jason from the group chat? Makes a separate group chat for guys who are actually playing so Jason Tatum doesn't have to see it?
So I think for the rest of this playoffs, which might be one or two games, I think you leave Jason Tatum in the group chat.
Sure.
Just as a, like, hey.
He's still part of the team.
Yes. Yeah. Next season, there's one without Jason Tatum.
You got to.
It's just easier. It's just easier at that point.
Yeah, don't put him through having to read everything.
He's not
going to
be on road trips for a while.
He's not going to be at the arena very much. Or as you mentioned, on road trips. There's no reason to have him on the group chat. The non-Tatum group chat, I think, is a good move. But after this story comes out, and I'm going to assume Max Strus let Jared Greenberg know what he did, I'm trading Max Strus. Get out of here. This is embarrassing. Beat it.
Houston Rocket, Max Strus.
Would you give up the 10th pick for Max Strus?
No, not the 10th pick. Do they have a lower pick?
Their own pick? Like, don't they have their own pick?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe.
I actually don't think they do.
Maybe not.
They swapped
them. I know this. DeAndre Hunter's starting for the team next year. Max Strus, your starting spot, beat it. For this text alone.
Beat it.
And plus the 0-9. The combo means DeAndre Hunter, the midseason acquisition, is now our starting swing guard or swing player. So, it wasn't a great shooting night for Donovan Mitchell. He tried what he could, got to the line 21 times. I mentioned the 3 free throws he missed. Darius Garland was bad, but we pushed that aside because of injury. The Cavs are out. 4-1, they are eliminated. It's going to be an interesting offseason for them. Do they just chalk it up to our guys were beat up? We enter that series compromised, and we could not get it done. I think the game 4 loss is the one where that's unexplainable. Look, you're down 2-0. Guys are in and out of the lineup. The shocking results, understood. It felt like you put it together in game 3, and then there's no explanation for what happened in game 4. That'll be the one that can't be explained.
I definitely think that Ty Jerome doesn't have he doesn't get the, hey, guys are hurt card. If I'm running the Cavs, I'm like, so, Ty Jerome, how much money are you going to be asking for this offseason?
Yeah, just because you're cooking Duncan Robinson and Tyler Herro doesn't mean we have to give you whatever you think you deserve.
Yeah, it's a real, like, okay, you did that. You're great in the regular season. You're great against the 10 seed Heat. Then we played a real playoff team.
And we deemed you unplayable in the final game until we were desperate.
Not even a real, like, great defensive playoff team. Just a playoff team. A good playoff team. Just unplayable.
Yeah.
That's one where I'm not going, well, you know, Garland was hurt.
Yeah, and to be clear, like, he had a great game 1 against Miami, and then the other ones, fine. He scored 6, 13, 18.
They figured him out.
Yeah, he was fine.
They cracked the code.
Yeah, yeah. He has 4 single-digit scoring games in this series. A real come down from what he was against Miami. So Ty Jerome's one of those guys who is looking to make a lot of money. He'll still make plenty. He's a valuable member of that team. May not be what he had dreams of coming out of that Heat series.
No.
A deep playoff run could have got him a big deal. Not sure he's getting a giant one. I'm not sure he's getting the Austin Reeves package when it comes to a salary-wise. But Cavs are done. And they are... And we'll talk about it maybe in the second hour when we do our scapegoat rankings. They're in the mode of those Hawks teams, those Raptor teams, but at least those teams lost to LeBron. Tyrese Halliburton's good, but he's no LeBron. And now they have questions to answer. And we talked a little bit about what happened in game 2 last night. Just a really good game overall. Michael Porter Jr., people are getting after. I can't really do it. He's got a shoulder pad on as a basketball player. That guy is compromised. Now, Russ, who we praised last week, that one's looking a little sticky for us. Maybe we got out ahead of ourselves with giving, at least me, because I put him on the list, giving Russ that type of praise. So we'll continue to talk about that. We'll get into the Astros when we come back. They needed that last night for Fromber. They got it. We'll talk about how that game went when Fromber keeps the ball down. He's pretty good. He did that last night, so we'll get into that. We've got some stuff from Will Anderson to get to as well. We're here till noon. If you want to call in, 713-780-3776. But first, let's talk about Monument Chevrolet. In fact, I did a new spot for them because it is May, and I talked a lot about what happened in April because that was truck month. Well, they're still giving you great deals at Monument. Just check out what they have to offer at monumentchevrolet.com. What they have going right now is employee pricing on their entire inventory. So not just the Chevy Silverado 1500s like in April, for the month of May until the end. whatever you want, new or pre-owned, it's that employee pricing. Great savings for you once you head on out there. And if you're active or retired military personnel, they've got a special offer for you with $750 off your purchases. And then also, if you love Sirius XM or OnStar, you want that in your car, 25% off that as well. So take advantage of all the deals that Monument Chevrolet is providing. They want you to be part of the family because they understand that once you're family for life. And they'll treat you like that because they have treated generations of people like that. So whether it be the mom or the dad, the grandparents, the son, the daughter, all families from grandfather or grandma to their grandchildren get their cards from there. So you should be part of that too. You can head on out there, send Pasadena off of 225 and Beltway 8. If you go to monumentchevrolet.com, you can see all the deals they have to offer and all the prices on those cars. And then once you get out on the lot, you're going to realize those prices don't change. There is no upcharging, no hidden fees. They'll get you into the car that you love. Monument Chevrolet is the place you go to when you want a great car. And remember this, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
ESPN 97.5.
Listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Sean has some breaking news regarding our Houston Texans. But before we do that, more importantly, Max is reverting back to HBO Max. So if you were bothered by the lack of HBO branding when you hit that Max app, don't worry. Coming soon. HBO Max is back, folks. In a change that no one wanted the first time, they're just going back to HBO Max. I don't know what they were on. I guess they thought of too many words. HBO was too much to say for people.
Yeah.
But we're back to HBO Max for everyone who was concerned.
There we go.
Yeah, two years after the initial change and a color change that was part of it. Hey, look, Max is in blue. Now it's back to HBO Max. A worthless thing to do.
What's funny is that like several people got paid probably at least six figures. If not, their salary is seven figures.
Do you think it was
to make this decision?
Do you think it was internal or did they hire consultants to first change it to Max and then change it back?
God, I hope not consultants. Just because that would upset me even more.
But someone got paid for the color change.
Yeah.
To think Max was better. Because, hey, we don't want to be just HBO Max because that's what everyone's going to think. Think of it as just Max.
When did it – it's cleaner. When did it change to just Max? Do we know? Do we remember?
According to Variety, it's changing its name after 2 years.
That's longer than I thought.
I don't know what specifically the date changed, but 2 years later, they're bouncing back to HBO Max.
Cause I was going to say – did this happen like in between seasons of House of the Dragon? Like House of the Dragon will just be on HBO Max and it just completely skipped the Max era of the streaming service?
I can't speak to their logic or why they do anything. But remember, they had that classic black and white logo and then they're like, you know what? We love some blue. Actually, it was blue. Then they went back to black and white to mimic more HBO. But now it'll be HBO Max.
Okay.
Again.
What color?
It looks like it'll be the HBO colors, ones we remember fondly when we were watching The Wire.
Fondly.
And Real Sex 25. HBO. It's back, folks. I'm glad they made that move. All right. What's the breaking news regarding the Texans, Sean?
Breaking news from the Texans, according to @edilla, who, I don't know, looks like he has a pretty good following with the Jags.
So he can be trusted?
Yes. This is also pretty low-stakes breaking news. The Jacksonville Jaguars will host the Houston Texans week 3 of this NFL season. There we have it. So you can safely plan your trips to Jacksonville to watch the Houston Texans take on Travis Hunter and the Liam Cohen-led Jacksonville Jaguars.
And what county will they be in?
Oh, well, take it away, Coach.
Duval.
Do you think anyone simply plans to go watch the Texans in Jacksonville, or do they have another trip connected? Is a Jacksonville Texans game enough to get someone to watch them in Jacksonville and take a trip there if you're from Houston, or do you have other things to do in the state of Florida and you just say, you know what, let's do it. Let's go watch them play the Jags too.
I'm glad you brought this up.
Okay.
I think a lot of people, it is like, hey, we have family in a place that's near Jacksonville. Yeah, or we hit, you know, or my aunt has a beach house in wherever. Let's go. And then while we're there, we can just swing by, go to Trevor Banks Stadium. And
I'm not ever calling it that. Trevor Banks Stadium. He doesn't play well enough for it to get that nickname, no matter what.
But yeah, I think that a lot with, especially when NRG gets taken over. And it's always couched as like, it happens everywhere with Philadelphia or Pittsburgh Steelers fans where they go, look, hey, Steelers fans, they travel. And I always think, we're overlooking the fact that Pittsburgh Steelers fans just like live in Houston,
yeah,
or live everywhere. I think people really under, especially with Houston, such a transplant city. Like growing up, like I went to junior high in a class of like 20 kids. There was a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Like there's just these fans. There's Cowboys fans. Like they're just fans everywhere in Houston.
It stems from, I think, if a team was popular in the 70s, it becomes a generational thing.
Yeah.
Where Steelers, Raiders, Cowboys, and to a lesser extent the Dolphins because of their run.
There are just like random Dolphins.
Yeah, you will, and I'm one of them. My dad started watching the Dolphins more in the 80s, but they were still a popular team then. So that's how I became one. But yeah, the Steeler fans, that gets passed down just like a lot of fandoms, and kid will just be a Steeler fan.
Yeah, I always think that whenever they go, and hey, listen, these, especially when it's like a Rust Belt team, where I'm just like, well, because people moved out of Ohio and Pittsburgh, that's kind of why.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit, like, they moved out.
Yeah.
That's why they can take over any field, but especially like NRG Stadium, where it's like, again, Houston just takes in so many people from different states that's like, yeah, there's going to be fans. And Houston didn't have a team for, 10 years?
So you had to go pick one, particularly if you were born right before the Oilers left and spent a lot of your time growing up when you didn't have a football team to root for. Also, you take into account, Orlando's only 2 hours away.
There we go.
So if you're taking the trip
to
Jacksonville.
Go to Magic Kingdom and then go to Disney World.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Maybe you want to take in Universal, Harry Potter World. There's a lot of things to do. I just don't know how many people think to themselves, I'm just going to go to Jacksonville to watch the Texans and not do anything else. Doesn't seem like a good way to parse out your time if you're taking vacation time.
That's why they build up the schedule release, right?
So you'll know ahead of time.
So all of us can schedule our trips because you know how much we're dying to watch Houston Texans football. Except don't make it at NRG Stadium. Make me get on a plane to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I love doing, traveling. Domestic travel to AFC South destination cities.
Think about the AFC South destination cities. Jacksonville, Indy, and Nashville. Nashville, I guess, is the most appealing as a city by itself.
Recent riser, too.
And I would mention Jacksonville as second because of the possibility of a trip to Orlando. If you got kids, what are you doing in Indy in the middle of November?
Pacers game.
Pretty good team.
Yes, sirs.
Pretty good team. Yeah, I saw those shirts. I hate those shirts.
I that's something where I see those shirts and I'm like, you know what? I bet Dell hates these. I can't imagine that
I saw it. If you don't know, it's a warm-up shirt that the Pacers wear.
The little slogan.
Yeah, and it's their slogan for the playoffs, or maybe just overall. Like, Cleveland has let them know. Well, I'll let you know that you're going home. But as far as the Pacers, it's yes, sirs. It's Indiana. Get it off if you must. I remember when they used to be built versus bought. That was when they were going against the Heat. That was their thing. Hey, we built this thing. I mean, you didn't draft David West, by the way. So there are some additions, but that was how they did it because, hey, we're the homegrown, we're tough. It didn't matter when LeBron and Wade were putting 35 and 40 on you in the game at the same time. But either way, that's a decade ago now or so, and now the Pacers are back in the Eastern Conference Finals where they likely will see the Knicks unless Jaylen Brown can lead a stirring comeback. We were supposed to talk Astros, but things got in the way, like HBO Max and their breaking news, and the Jaguars, Texans breaking news coming out. So, week three, division game. As Sean mentioned, Travis Hunter, Trevor Lawrence, and Brian Thomas against that Texans defense, and CJ Stroud. Oh, Christian Kirk's return game as well.
Oh,
we didn't think
about
that.
Emotions will be high.
I mean, Foley Fadakasi's already played them as a Texan, but with him back in the fold, it's a return game for him too. So there it is.
You can go travel again, like you said, go to the theme parks in Orlando, and I guess then on Sunday have to be there at noon because I guarantee you this will be a noon game.
Yep.
Then you watch the Christian Kirk tribute video. Not a dry eye in the house. It's going to be tough because then, you know, after they show the tribute video, now we got a football game to play. It's hard to snap back into
that. You think Christian Kirk's going to show the same emotion Lucas showed when he went back to Dallas? The only non-dry eyes are going to be the people in that pool. Only people who might have some moisture in their face.
Chlorine in my...
Not even that. It'll just be moisture from being in the pool. No one's crying at all.
Oh, I thought, you know, they got splashed in the eye.
now
some punk kid.
As they try to blink out the chlorine, they start to cry. But Christian Kirk goes not even home. He played in Arizona first. All right, we'll go to break with that. I am thrilled that it's scheduled release day. Mostly because then we don't have to talk about schedule releases. Actually, we got to talk about it on Thursday. We do got to talk about it tomorrow. And then by Friday.
We'll go game by game.
Nope.
For
that's John's bit where he does Texans 15, well, now 16-1. He'll do 16-1.
Yeah.
And then he'll struggle to find the loss. That's the bit. Sorry for giving you some spoilers, but that's how it's going to go. The Texans won't go any worse than 15-2. And even the two, he won't know.
Yeah, he'll him and haw about like,
It's just, hey, I can't say they're going to be perfect.
Yeah, because he has respect for the 72 Dolphins.
Of course. But if he didn't care for Mercury Morris, he would definitely say they're going 17-0. All right, we'll go to break with that. If you want to get in about your predictions for the Texans schedule, wait till tomorrow because we'll have the schedule. But if you want to call in about anything else, you can, 713-780-3776. We will be back.
But first, I want to talk to you about Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. And I actually got a notification from Prize Picks today saying that there are 17 MLB baseball games, or I guess just MLB games. The B stands for baseball. MLB games today and tonight because there's two doubleheaders and then every other team is playing one game. So this is more than the perfect opportunity for you to get in if you know your baseball stuff or you just want to keep it local. Keep it with the Astros coming off a walk-off win last night against the Royals. You think they're going to keep that momentum going? You think that Isak Paredes going to hit another one into the Crawford boxes? You can do that on Prize Picks. You can mix and match with the playoffs. Tonight, you have the Celtics without Jason Tatum taking on the Knicks, looking to close things out. In Boston, and then you have the Golden State Warriors fighting for the lives against the Minnesota Timberwolves in Minnesota. So whatever you want, you can mix and match. You can go more on Anthony Edwards' points. You can go less on Jaylen Brown's points if you think that he's going to be exposed without Jason Tatum there taking all the eyeballs from him. Whatever you want, you can do it on Prize Picks. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's $50 instantly after you put in code MAPES. You don't even have to win to get that money. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks. Run your game.
ESPN 97.5.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.